Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello, it is Red Men Radio number 37. Chris Pajak.
In the hissoo.
Oh my God. So we've got a kickoff question this week, Chris. Comes from Matthew J. Caldwell on the Facebook subscriber group, which I just want to point out to people, if you subscribe to theredmentv.com, we have an exclusive group for people to have a chat in Facebook.
It's hard to get into now.
Yeah, you have to prove that you're a Red Men TV subscriber now, and unfortunately there are some knobheads in there because we didn't do this from the start. Just be warned, it's good, it leads to opportunities like this, and it will be Ross's biggest job of 2018 is weeding out dickheads from that group, but there are some really good people.
I think he's already booted me.
But Steele's in here, and so's Lewis Calvert, so you know what I mean?
Steele shouldn't be allowed in any groups.
No, I know. He's definitely not a subscriber.
He just turns up here. I literally just haven't got the heart to say, go away, Steele, you do me not.
It's good fun just to find out who he's been offending on Twitter lately. That's more than anything else. Evertonians is the answer at the moment. Anyway, Matthew J. Cole.
Looks good in a hat as well.
Multiple choice. Well, better, because you don't know that he's bald. Multiple choice. Salah and Coutinho tied to an enchanted 5-year deal that guarantees their current form and goal return for the full contract, or Steven Gerrard, age 24, signing for the Reds tomorrow.
Oh, that's horrible! Salah and Coutinho, 5-year deals, current form.
Mm-hmm.
Steven Gerrard, age 24.
Correct.
I want Stevie back.
Here's the thing. You're getting 10 years of Steven Gerrard.
I want Stevie back. Or 10 years combined of them two at the same time.
Yeah. But
I want Steven Gerrard back.
Paul,
I've just put him on the top of our Christmas tree for a reason.
He is, right. So, yeah, if you're watching the video version, you might be able to see it. I don't know how it's framed. But either way, you'll see it in due course. Steven Gerrard is the angel atop our studio Christmas tree. I, unfortunately, would go with Salah and Coutinho. I say, unfortunately, lots of fortune, very fortunate, because I think this will be a much easier question come the end of the season when Coutinho's got 20 goals and Salah's got 40. Mm. Because if you've got a 40-goal-a-season winger and a 20-goal-a-season number 8 in your team, then you're not getting, you know, I mean, okay, yeah, you're going to get Gerrard, you're going to get... do I have Gerrard back?
But what else are you getting with Salah and Coutinho apart from all the goals and the great play, really?
And the assists.
I mean, really?
What did the Romans do for us?
Exactly. You know, Steven Gerrard is texting players, lad, asking them to come to Liverpool. You know what I mean? He's texting them. He brings more than just the player himself.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, if he gets asked, he might get out of bed and go and talk to someone. Here's the thing.
You know what,
if you gave me Steve, you got to restart Steven Gerrard's career and have it all over again, then I would definitely take that. And look, to be fair, you know, at 24 he was kind of over the growing pains, and it was just when he was in his absolute stride as Istanbul era, that isn't it, 24-year-old Steven Gerrard. So yeah, and just to have Stevie, but it's interesting. It's tough. I would go to Salah and Coutinho. I'm not going to fully reason it out because I don't want to feel like I'm dedicating any portion of this podcast towards saying not nice things about Steven Gerrard.
I'll say the nice things about Steven Gerrard. Steven Gerrard, age 24, coming into our midfield now, could be the catalyst for us hitting the next step.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because him just being in at age 24 doesn't mean that Coutinho and Salah go.
No.
You know what I mean? You've got Steven Gerrard. Look, everybody's talking about it. And I disagree with a lot of the captaincy debate, to be perfectly honest. And I think I have done for a few weeks now. But having a leader like that in that dressing room and a guy who's so ingrained in the football club and was the best midfielder in the world for a period of
that.
Coutinho and Salah right now could be the best players in the world in their positions, but Steven Gerrard was.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. And you're guaranteed.
And you're going to get him, of course, as well. You know, he can play right back and right mid.
And probably right centre half or left centre half in this.
Prime centre.
He's probably our best goaler as well.
Put him, you know what, at 24, I'd just put him centre back for us right now. Forget it. That is a tougher thing than I thought. My immediate reaction was just think about Salah and Coutinho for the next 5 years and then worry about what comes with. But you're right, that's a great way of thinking about it. There's no guarantee that they could, you know, they could leave after a season. But they could equally, if Steven Gerrard's guiding them to what they want to be guided to, they could stay and you could have all three. Perfect scenario.
I mean, we're winning the double this year anyway. with Gerrard, we might make a play at the league as well.
Right, we're switching up this week. We're going to get to some news in brief in a moment. But first, just so Emma Sanders, who was a tremendous guest on the... on the Champions League draw and the final word on the build up for this week for West
Brom. She's got a wonderful, loving, warm smile, actually.
Yeah, she said she's right. She's written so Porto it is. Who would be your Redmen TV Valentine's Day date? Apologises to Ross, and then but as a poll, Paul the charmer, Chris the cheeky one, Ross the sympathy boat. Poor old Ross. Now, just to clarify, this is still a time of recording. This has still got nearly 6 hours left on the vote. It's at 1,641 votes.
Stop
so far.
The world. I want to get off.
Yeah. People have clearly got a big opinion on this. So, you know, maybe we'll
did you vote?
Of course I did.
What did you vote for?
I need to see the answers.
What did you vote for?
I vote for me.
I voted for you too. But in all likelihood, Paul, you will be my Valentine's date.
Absolutely.
So I've gone with realism.
Absolutely. Under normal circumstances.
We're not taking Rush.
Under normal circumstances, if I could have seen the results already, I would have voted for you. But I thought I don't want my vote to be the tipping thing that loses me this. So
You've got to take your wins where you can, Paul.
Absolutely. I'm happy for that. But listen, not a win. If you still want it, if you listen to this
today
before like 7 o'clock at night on Tuesday, then you've got time to vote for this. So yeah, by all
what's
means,
give Twitter
Ross
handle
at @M_Sandy. It's all over Twitter, Chris. It's taken over. It's got 1,600 people talking about it. So if you want to get involved with that, thanks Emma for causing a major divide in the studio there
between mainly, who
Ross and his happiness.
Okay, that is a thing.
To be fair, Ross deserves that. He did come in looking like he'd slept in his car last night.
Yeah, so that was hilarious when I found out you told him that.
Did you tell him as well?
No, I asked what happened. Do you know what he said? I went for a new look. I won't be doing it again.
Yeah, for a new look.
Me and Paul have been living this for 15 years. We don't try new looks because the other person will just constantly just fucking chip at them.
If you want a new look, you've got to be totally committed to it. You've got to really want to do something.
Which is why I don't have my hair gels up anymore. Just saying.
Yeah, apart from in your Facebook profile pic.
It's a wedding, Paul. It's a special occasion. I thought I looked alright in that. I looked young and thin because I did this.
Because you sucked your face in. Absolutely.
So don't believe anything you see on Facebook.
No,
or Instagram,
Facebook's
people.
Full of lies, isn't it? Full of lies. I love it. The people you went to school with who were clearly just bad meffs, who had no friends and all that, and all of a sudden they're like, they're posting pictures of themselves in Dubai on the beach, and it's like, well, you were still a bad meff in school. You know what I mean? Nothing's going to change that. And I know, because I was one. News in brief, Chris. I'd smash through this before we get onto the topics for the week and then later on to some of your questions as well.
Oh, I haven't brought any questions?
I know, unfortunately. Then I'll have to go to the audience.
I've got one.
I've
got one question for you, and it links into this topic. Have you told Charlie yet that you're going to Porto on Valentine's Day?
Yeah. So we're all right. We don't really celebrate Valentine's because we got together like the week before, so we celebrated like a week earlier. So I'm groovy for it. Have you?
Yes. But I've not told her it's Valentine's Day.
Uh-oh.
Sometime in February.
Uh-oh.
And I was told, as long as it's not the 10th, it's fine. So I'm golden.
So can I just... I'm going to give everyone a little insight into how Chris is going to break this news. He's going to leave it to
this
the very...
This is it, Paul. No, this is it, the podcast.
You're going to leave it to the very last minute, and then you're going to say... I'm really sorry, babe. Paul's told me I've got to go over to Porto for the...
Yeah, that's it. Like, no, she literally just said the 10th of February, as long as it's not that, because that's when her brother gets married. I'm all right.
Oh, that's fine.
And I already know it's not the 10th, so I'm fine.
Cool. Groovy. Then all is good.
So, Kat, Kat, if you're listening, I'm so sorry.
She's not listening. God, she never listens. Because if she did, you would never hear to say sorry to over the years. Yeah. Anyway, so Porto in the last 16. We haven't really had a chance to talk about it.
Ed, her brother, does listen. Ed, do not say anything.
Ed, you know what to do. Porto in the last 16, Chris. You did the live stream for Redmen, I did it for Ball Street. We've not really kind of touched...
Each other
since then. so, what are your thoughts on getting Porto?
I'm nervous. I wanted Basel and Porto. They were the two teams that
you wanted Basel. Crazy?
Yeah, I don't mind them. I know that they've had like this hoodoo over us.
We've
for ages.
Never beaten them.
I know that, and yet I still wanted them because they were still the worst side that we could have drawn.
Besiktas.
I don't like now going over to Turkey. So I made.
Well, hang on, shut up. So, what were the teams you wanted?
Porto and Basel.
Okay. Sound.
Besiktas and Shakhtar. So I made a great point about Shakhtar just before we go on live. Those two places are horrible to get to.
Funnily enough, Rory from TFC fans channel, whatever the fuck it's called, one of the Chelsea channels. But one of the ones that was run by nice people, he said he's done it. So you're like, you fly into Kiev and then it's like 9 hours on a train to get to where it is from there. He said basically it's part of impossible.
And another point that Si made, I think it was Si, the finals there, isn't it? You know, in Kiev and stuff. So that, you know, a team from that country trying to get to a final in their own capital and stuff, that would be, they'd be vying for it as well. So Porto
aren't
the team that they were.
Team of choice, yeah.
You know, when Jose Mourinho was the manager and stuff, and they win the league at a canter and all that type of stuff. But they're still a dangerous side, you know. I do fancy this Liverpool side against anybody, but it's the Champions League, it's the last 16. I'm nervous already. It's like 2.5 months away.
Yeah, I'm fine, and I can kind of switch off with it because, like I say, if all the teams in that draw, that's exactly who I wanted because...
I wanted a bye.
Well, yeah, okay, sad, yeah. I hadn't considered that, if I'm honest, so I wouldn't go back and say that. And are you lying by saying that that's a thought you'd had?
No, now I do. When the teams got drawn out, I thought, I don't want any of these.
Oh, right, sad, okay. Given the choice, I'd take none, thanks. Yeah. You know what, if Spartak just fancy having a go, then by all means let them. No, I looked at it and I thought, and look, we had this conversation when the group draw came out, and I was really disappointed with our group because I actually wanted Spurs' group rather than our group because I thought, you know, if you're going to be in it, go in it and get a really good set of teams and have a great adventure and what have you. But we're through now, and now I realise that we performed really well in that group, and I actually think we should have performed better. Look, we should have had that group sewn up weeks. We could have had that group sewn up with like 3 game weeks to go if we'd beaten Sevilla. You know, in the first game, and then got 2 weeks ago. If we'd beaten them the second time around as well, and we'd have probably had the best goal difference in the whole of the Champions League.
Yeah, I think PSG had. Well, no, I don't know the goals against. They scored 25 and we scored 23.
So,
but I don't know how many the difference in conceding.
Yeah,
was.
And so I feel like Porto are. I think they're better than Spartak, and they're definitely better than Maribor. I think they're probably. The better than Sevilla, but I have them in that
so
kind of exactly. What I'm kind of driving at is that I think there was more we could have handled harder teams in that group, and I think it was a nice introduction back into the Champions League, where we got some tricky games, some tricky distances we had to travel and what have you. That was like the perfect soft relaunch into the Champions League for us, and now that we're in a knockout phase. I think about it and I think, ooh, I just want this to continue. And as much as I think we could have beaten a Barcelona or a Real Madrid or whomever, I think, get to the quarters, and then, you know,
then you can see the final.
Exactly.
It's got the word final in it.
The word final in it. And that's not to say the Porto are pushover. I'm not denigrating them in any way, shape, or form. I just think that they're a team nearer our level. And so it's a team that we can compete with. I don't think it's one of those. I don't think you can go through the Champions League clawing every team down to your level and scrapping with them. But I think you can do when you get to the last few rounds if needs be. So no, I was buzzing with Porto, and again, it's not too far away, decent climate and all that kind of stuff. Like, so, and you know, it's on a reasonable. They might even be on the same time as us, or within a couple of hours, so it's fine. Like, so yeah, great. I was really pleased with that. Moving on, Mane won UEFA Goal of the Week. Fair play.
Yeah, fair play.
Belter of a goal.
Now, it was the way that he went with his laces and then turned it.
Just boss, mate.
It's like his instep. Incredible volley.
Sure enough. Well, before we get into any negative Mane talk, which might come in a bit, but so this is really interesting, actually. I don't even know where I stumbled upon this. Someone did an article on Twitter, I think. So 538.com. I've worked out that Liverpool are seventh favourites to win the Champions League at the moment, based on the current draw, with the favourites currently being Barcelona, Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, Man City, PSG.
Surprised how low PSG are.
Well, only because they've drawn Real Madrid in the next round.
Surprised how high Real Madrid are.
Well, yeah. Yeah, well, that's it. I think they've gone on. Well, yeah, either of those teams, had they not been drawn against the other one, I suspect would have been higher up. The fact that it's mad that Barcelona are so high. If you think about it,
Chelsea.
Yeah, and Chelsea have got a very, very good record against Barcelona in Europe as well. So, yeah, it's just an interesting stuff. We'll put the link in. It'll be in the info underneath the pod or on the post on the website. If you just want to have a look at it, do get in greater detail. But we have according to this, we have a 5% chance of winning the Champions League, which is fine.
It's more than last year.
Well, consider that, you know, Man City are up there and, you know, are the only other British team above us, Man United. We've got a slightly better chance. They're a 4% chance, followed by Spurs and Chelsea a bit further down.
I'd like to have seen this before the group stages. Mm-hmm. If they'd have done this before the group stages and how different it was, like, you know what I mean? I think that'd be dead interesting, because to make the quarters, we've got a 58% chance, which is, you know, that's good.
Yeah.
Make the semis 26, make the final 11, and then win the final 5.
Well, it's interesting because, of course, as we know, it's a fluid thing, isn't it? Is that if we got, for example, like, say, Besiktas get through against all the odds, and you draw Besiktas in the next round, then your odds will be marginal. As an example, sorry, so Besiktas have a 7% chance of making the, whereas Bayern Munich have a 93% chance of making the quarters because they've drawn Besiktas.
I'd love, like, this is probably done on some kind of algorithm based on goals scored and goals conceded and stuff like that. I'd love them to do this for 2005 based off the groups and the qualifiers and see what type of a percentage we had back in 2005 to win it. Because, go ahead, lads, sort it out.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. If 538 want to make that a thing, then I would absolutely read it, and I would read it to you people listening at home.
Yeah, and I'd pay a pound for it.
Not sure that's an option, but that's fine. So before we get stuck into it, then I just want to give a little plug.
I can read it in Spanish too, because you can read it in Spanish.
Es verdad. That's terrible. Before we get stuck into the topic, which is called rotation this week, a little plug, Chris. We've got Exclusives Week going on at the moment. How good is Exclusives Week?
10.
Excellent. For the people who don't get the little in joke between us about how good 10 is,
there's no scale. 10 is the best.
10 is the best anything can be. Absolutely. Just to clarify where it came from, I once asked my cousin how much you wanted an accelerator pedal in your car, like in Knight Rider, with lights up the side that lights up when you push it down, and his answer was simply 10, which is the most anything can be. So we've got exclusive videos and audio going out every single day this week. It started on Monday with Joel Matip, Kenny Dalglish on Tuesday, and it follows through to Jordan Henderson on Sunday. Even
who's on Saturday?
The madness of all madnesses.
Madness?
Lee Evans.
He's pretty mad.
Yeah, he's He's
I've
mad.
Seen this, and it's brilliant.
He's mad as a box of frogs, that man. So yeah, a little bit off the wall, a little bit different. But yeah, we've got some cool stuff. Joe Gomez, and I'm not saying with Roberto Firmino because he stood next to him and he says about three words, so it wasn't worth advertising it on that regard. But yeah, Gomez, there's some storage stuff as well. We've got some amazing stuff coming up, particularly between now and Christmas. We've also got a competition running as well at the moment to win a gadget show style Red Men TV Christmas hamper, which features a whole host of stuff, which I can't remember off the top of my head, but it includes a Liverpool edition of Pro Evo 2018, a Red Men TV t-shirt signed by Firmino, Matip and Gomez. The last three Red Men TV Christmas sweatshirts in the world that haven't been bought are in that box, and you get a 12-month subscription to the website as well, and loads of other extra bonus things, t-shirts and cool stuff. So to be in with the chance of winning that, and obviously to get access to all the amazing stuff on exclusives, we just go to theredmentv.com and sign up. You don't even have to pay. You get the first month free, which is ridiculous, isn't it, Chris?
Absolutely ridiculous. Why are we doing this?
We're giving stuff
away. This is
away.
Ridiculous, Paul.
This is poor business strategy, but you know what? It's Christmas.
We're the worst.
We are the worst. But what it's about, and what Redman's always been about, is about you guys. And, you know, the people who are listening who get on it already, you know what you get and you know the value that you get. But obviously, if you've ever been sat on the fence and you come up to Christmas and you're thinking, I fancy trying that, well, there you go. Try it. Get loads of exclusive interviews with cool Liverpool people, plus be entered into the draw to win all that amazing hampery goodness. So it's boss. Just free for the first month, and then it's £5 a month after that. But you get an absolute ton of bonus video content and podcast content as well. So if you love what we do here, there's just more of it. So thank you very much. Anyway, advert over. Chris.
Rotation.
Yeah, we had an email sent to us, which if I'd had a modicum of intelligence, I would have preloaded into my phone, but I haven't. So
from Peter.
Sure. From Peter.
At mail@theredmentv.com. So he set up an email at theredmentv.com to fire us over an email to stay anonymous, but he's given his name as Peter and said that I'll leave the surname off.
Wow. Okay. That's weird because it's got his email address in here as well.
Don't read it out then. To me, it was mail@theredmentv.com.
Yeah. I never read. Okay, well, okay, brilliant.
That's a level of
subterfuge.
Yeah,
he's then spelled address wrong. you've got to all that, and you've only put one D in address, Peter. Come on. Anyway,
he's a Geordie. Come on.
Yeah, sure. He says.
Oh no, he wasn't. Was
no,
he?
No, the Geordie's the other one to come. He says, "You guys do." He might be anonymous. He's basically like Deep Throat. Who knows?
I think his surname's Pan.
Sure. You guys do a really good job of calming down the inverted covers. Popular opinions every week when we have a inverted covers bad game. But the rubbish I saw on Twitter and TV this week about the draw with Everton tipped me over the edge. I've never commented on Twitter or YouTube, but I just had to get something out to some people who can see through the noise. On Klopp, he was criticised for squad rotation and not appreciating the derby. I thought this claim was nonsense. Our team completely dominated the game regardless. It created enough chances to win and conceded no chances. The selection of the team had nothing to do with drawing, and although risky, Klopp's decision was justified. Solanke was okay, and had Mane produced a simple pass, he would have been on the score sheet. Then I'm sure everyone would be heaping praise on the team selection. The bravery of starting young players in a derby, we're not supposed to be scoring 5 to 7 goals every week. We'll have finer 1 or 2 goal margins in some games. And all the criticisms I saw of Conte, Chelsea the previous day about the squad being tired from the Champions League game and not being rotated apparently was forgotten when it came to Liverpool. Our lineup was totally feasible with Solanke and Ox both being very fresh and energetic, and Firmino, Coutinho not being as quick. This also came with a surprise factor to counter Sam's preparations. Chelsea actually lost their game, which you could argue was down to a lack of rotation. Who knows if the same would have happened to us if we'd not rotated too. On Henderson, Jesus Christ, as long as they... Before and throughout the game, the entire match, Henderson was getting drilled with criticism. I watched the whole match, and despite maybe three absolutely terrible long-range shots, he was fine. He's not my favourite player at all, but I don't understand what he did wrong today. I don't know if there's anything he could do to please the fans except play a different role. I don't think anyone knows what a number six does. On Lovren, good God, the guy did nothing wrong. The didn't give a referee a chance comment is the worst excuse to criticise a player I've seen in football. That's the one I used, by the way. Thank you. This excuse doesn't fly in any aspect of real life when it involves officiating. This is where it gets a little bit heavy, by the way. So if you expect a light-hearted red bed, I just want to pre-warn of the next couple of sentences. It's identical, and this is by the way, the words of Peter, not the words of the Red Men TV. It's identical to telling people not to dress well to deter rapists and then blaming victims if it happens. The referee was wrong. Lovren was completely innocent. Calvert-Lewin dived. Klopp, Lovren, Henderson. None of these people had anything to do with drawing this game, and I didn't even have to criticise Lovren as a defender or reference his past mistakes. Any other world-class defender could have done this. Referee, again, the Premier League officials have ruined another football match. VAR couldn't come sooner, although I'm seriously unsure if it will help, because when players like Lukaku are getting away with open and shut cases like kicking people twice in plain view, what difference does it make when referees still can't get decisions right when shown replays? And he would like to keep his name anonymous, so we have done, apart from his first name, which we've revealed. Right, so...
Point by point.
Well, let's... I want to largely address the rotation side of things, because okay. I totally agree with this. Now, we've had a little bit of a back and forth in the office. Like, I know Simon totally and utterly vociferous in his belief that Jürgen Klopp got it wrong, and to in any way, shape or form denigrate the importance of the derby was just stupid, and it made him very, very angry. Now, I don't know sometimes, Chris, whether it's a combination of I'm a bit older, or we've been doing this for a long time, or I've just watched a lot of football. I don't know whether it's any, or if it is, in fact, any of the above. It didn't bother me particularly, the selection. There were a couple of moments and decisions during the game that I didn't totally agree with. Like, let's say, for example, we shouldn't have taken Salah off as early as we did. I'd have kept him on a bit longer just for the fear factor that he provides. But I contend that, and this is an easier contention to make than it was a month or so ago when we were doing similar things, that team was more than good enough to beat Everton. And I don't think you can legislate for how the game ends up being drawn. So I don't feel too critical of the way Klopp lined that team up.
No, I think I spoke about it yesterday on the final word, and I don't mind reiterating some of that because you weren't there first and foremost, and a lot of people listen to this podcast who don't subscribe.
Yeah.
But one of the reasons that I gave for that is that why I don't disagree with his rotation is because we blew up in January last season.
Yeah.
And I don't think you can... Yes, we drew that game at the weekend. Yes, it was a massive game. Yes, I'm disappointed. I'm not in any way, shape or form accepting of a draw in the derby. Yeah. I think we're better than that. I think we're better than them. But the simple truth of the matter for me is that you can't judge Jürgen Klopp on his rotation policy until you've seen it through to the end of these mad games, whether that be the middle of January or the end of the season. Then you can judge him on his rotation policy, because let's be honest, he has rotated and he's been a bit maverick with it. He's been a little bit tinker man. He's been a bit more even rotated even more than Rafa Benitez did.
I don't think it's so far beyond tinker man implies like
these aren't little changes, they're wholesale changes.
Have
we played three different formations in the last three games? I think we have. Yeah. I think we've gone like 4-4-2. I think we've played three at the back. I think we've played 4-3-3. Yeah. If not in the last three games, certainly in the last five.
In the last three games.
So these are changes.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. and UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit UH1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
And we're not losing anything for it. Mm-hmm. You know, the guys who were coming in all had good games.
Yeah.
I do really believe as well that the Moreno injury hurt us.
Yeah.
Because not only did it hurt that performance on Sunday, but it affected the substitutions on Wednesday that he could make.
Yeah.
And I think that it's very easy to just forget about that and brush it under the carpet. But that changed what Klopp had to do.
Yeah.
Because Emery Chan was on a yellow card. Maybe he gets changed out. Maybe he then starts the game because we're so far in the lead against Spartak. You just don't know exactly what's happening. So for me, I'm all right with the rotation. I'll reserve judgment on this for a little bit later down the line.
Yeah.
Certainly until at least the middle of January. Ultimately, it was the biggest week of Liverpool's season. We're through to the last 16 of the Champions League and we got a draw.
Yeah, and we're fourth in the Premier League off the back of it. No, I agree. The Moreno thing, you're right, it gets forgotten. The two biggest weeks of the season we've had so far, which led to the Chelsea game and led to the Everton game, Moreno had to be substituted off because he lost his head in Seville, which fucked us because it cost us a substitution, and then gets injured, which is obviously not his fault at all, against Spartak. And you're right, that for me, that means that you make one more substitution, you get to put some more legs in the tank, and that's the legs in the tank, which is a thing. People don't consider... Look, we don't consider it, do we? You know, and it's because, look, here's the thing, I've said this a few times. As fans, it's not really our job to consider, but it should be, really. We've got, you know...
If we all want to give our opinions on the football, we've all got to take a view like a manager would.
Yeah.
And we're all here giving our opinions.
Exactly. And I know I don't want to throw Si under the bus for this, but because it was very much his instant reaction to it. He's got off, so he might listen to this after the fact. But he was saying he was angry that we didn't go full strength for the derby. He felt that he would... And his words were... I don't give a fuck about West Brom, was his response, because we were saying, you know, we've got to think about that game as well. I would rather win the derby and lose against West Brom than draw the derby and win against West Brom.
So you'd rather take 3 points rather than four.
So yeah, look, it was a flawed argument, which is why I'm not gonna batter him too much. No, because we could drill down to this. It's the obvious point. But the point remains is that he was angry about how we lined up. And the case being made is that if you put you should have Coutinho in that team because if you're going to play against a team that was going to sit deep and was going to be hard to break down, put your best creative midfielder into that. And I can see a case for that. My issue with it is that I don't think there's any guarantee of return on anything in that regard. You can play, I've seen these games too often. Not very often against Everton, to be fair. It's not often that Everton play like Stoke or play like West Brom in these games. You can struggle, and it takes a moment of magic to open these games up sometimes. We got that moment of magic. Mm. We then did, although, you know, I've seen the Toffee TV lads crowing away about how we didn't create enough stuff. For me, it all boils down to Sadio Mane. And if he's just a bit less of a dickhead and just squares it, that game's done. And you know, we're 2-0 up, we're cruising. They've got no choice then but to either completely shut it down or to go completely at us and try and get something out of it, in which case we either pull them apart, as we've been doing to teams like that all season long. It was just a fine balance, and that's why I think Sadio went into business for himself a little bit to try and get his own goals up. And how we play is a fine balance. And when you've got someone like that not pulling towards, that I feel like that's what's undone us more than anything else that was done by
Liverpool. Yeah, I'm not going to throw Sadio under the bus. I agree that he should have played the pass. I didn't realise at the time when I watched it, I didn't see the three people. I was focused purely on Sadio Mane.
Really?
So when I come out the game, I didn't know there was three people. It wasn't until I watched the highlights.
I didn't know there was three, but I didn't know it was Solanke. I thought it was Salah. I didn't know it was that. I didn't know it was three, but it was Defo. It was what I remember saying.
I thought Chamberlain was in the best place.
Yeah, but either way, it was obvious that there was just someone there. And my only hope was, because I never did the video in the end, but I can't remember saying it. I hope that the square ball wasn't on. because if it's on and he's missed that, and when I watched it back, it's worse than I ever could possibly have imagined, because he's on his left foot, he puts it miles wide, and it's just, Man City don't do that, you know, and that's the difference.
Mane does stuff on the football field and has done stuff this season that, you know, it's one time he's not done it, you know what I mean? I'm willing to forgive him for that, because ultimately, whatever Toffee TV and whatever any Everton fans say, we created more chances after that.
Yeah.
You know, the Joe Gomez one, the Firmino one when he's sliding at the back stick, Phil Coutinho's free kick, I'm missing one as well. Was it Mane or Salah's header?
Salah's header, yeah.
You know, they don't go down as shots on target, but they were gilt-edged chances a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And they probably should have been converted. Exactly. Now, it does change the game, the Mane one. I've no doubt about that. But that's got nothing to do with Klopp's rotation.
Exactly. And that's the point for me, is that there's no guarantees that you perform any better with more on the pitch. Because, again, I thought Solanke had a good game. I thought he played well, particularly in the first half. You know, he led the line really, really well. Again, Salah's playing either way. Mane's the first choice in that regard as well. You've got two borderline world class players on the pitch there in the attacking positions, both of whom should have had a goal and assist and an assist, and they've done the job the same way they've been doing the job for the last couple of months. So I agree, and that's why you're right. There's no sense in totally lambasting Mane over it, because again, he scored a great goal the other week that got us underway. He scored important goals. He's starting to find his form again after a tricky season. And that's what I say, when it boils down to it, Mane takes the blame. Yeah, Mane takes the blame, but not like, well, that's the end of Sadio Mane, because he's got all the blame. He takes the blame for that one game, those two points. Exactly. But it's definitely not a let's pull apart the wider implications and let's do this and that, because I think the manager got it spot on. Here's the thing, Chris, and this is what Evertonians won't like to hear, and some Liverpoolians don't like to hear as well. We've played Everton like what they are. We've chosen to play Everton like a team that is 10th or 11th in the Premier League. We've played them like we played Stoke, like we're going to play West Brom.
That was the thing that must have done their heads in most, because they didn't play like it was a derby. They just played like they were better than them.
Yeah, and this is the problem with the derby in recent years. And people say the derby's lost something, and it has. That was not a derby. I haven't seen a proper derby in Yonks, but you know what? Here's the thing. I'm old enough to remember when there were proper derbies, and we used to lose loads of them. Yeah. We used to lose derbies all the time in the 90s, and it was horrible. I've got no problem. And, you know, look, we could do with more Scousers in these games, but equally at the same time, because it's nice to feel like you've got someone who represents you on the pitch without a shadow of a doubt, but Scousers lose their heads in those games all the time, and yes, that adds to the derby vibe, but again,
three points is really what matters out of a derby,
yeah,
isn't it?
Exactly, because ultimately I get no enjoyment out of it. The only enjoyment comes in those last couple of minutes when the game's won and you're gonna get the 3 points. So this might sound like heresy, but you know, Tom Davies and Ross Barkley lost their head big time last year and contributed towards Everton losing that game. We've got a bunch of players there who don't give a toss about Everton. They just treat Everton as another team, and that's massively disrespectful to Everton. But fuck it, Everton deserve to be disrespected because they're shit. Mm. If they get back to being a top team, and they want to get back to being what they are, and this is not to take away from how they set up in that game, by the way, because that was very canny management from Sam Allardyce and Sammy Lee. They set up with a game plan not to get tonked, and they got the best possible result out of that, which was a draw. That's what they've come for. A draw away from home, a draw at Anfield is a very, very good result. And that was echoed by their reactions and celebrations to it. So all the credit in the world to how they set up. They got what they came for, but they got lucky in how they got it. So I'm not too downhearted or dispirited.
No, not anymore. Not anymore. It's done. Move on to the next game.
Yeah, absolutely. As you say, I think if we're going to judge rotation, we're going to have to judge this run of games. And if this means if we're able to get wins by hook or by crook, by any means necessary, against West Brom and Bournemouth, and then we're able to field our full-strength team against Arsenal and beat them at the Emirates, then it's totally vindicated for me.
Yeah, but it won't be. But it won't be for the masses. That's the problem, isn't it?
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
But not for you.
No, exactly. And hopefully for the vast majority. But, you know, again, like we say, this always felt like one of those seasons, we've been saying it for weeks now, that we're going to have to judge this at the end of the season. It's not a season where no one result at the moment has a major impact on what we're doing, provided they're not, you know, horrendous. I mean, we've had a couple of those really bad defeats, but look at them, we've bounced back from them. People would have thought, if you use Man City and Spurs as barometers for where our season is, well, we're above Spurs and Man City have absolutely pissed the league, and we actually, you look at that game, we could have done a lot more in that game, but for the Manny red card. Yeah,
and listen, just a little bit on Lovren as well. I think I used the same line in my match reaction, but obviously it's different when you see something once from fucking miles away to when you see it. So I put something out on Twitter last night that got quite a lot of reaction, actually. And there was and I'm not saying that everybody's using this argument against Dejan Lovren, but the one that's really done my head in more than any is he should have been further away from Calvert-Lewin, right? And I've heard people say that he shouldn't be so close to Calvert-Lewin, which in essence means he should be further away from Calvert-Lewin, right? Now, I've seen this argument 150 times, 200 times on Twitter, and I try to think about when I play football, admittedly, I'm not a professional footballer. I've never been a professional footballer. I understand that.
Shock admission.
But I have never once thought, I'm too close to him, I'll back off.
Yeah.
And I've played a lot of football over the years, and never in a million years has that thought ever come into my head.
I haven't even seen that shout on social media about it. I think the thing is,
who thinks I'll get further away from him? That will be the right call of action.
I'm going to give the opposing striker more space inside our box.
It's never going to be a thing.
Here's the thing, Chris. I've watched it back a ton of times. It's nowhere near as cut and dry as I felt it was at the time. But here's the thing. Dejan Lovren does give the referee a decision to make.
Yeah.
Calvert-Lewin gets knocked over. I think it's his left-hand position and does it. And he puts his hand up, which you'll be able to see on the video, of course. It looks like he's pushed him. It's similar to the Jordan Henderson penalty the other week against Brighton. It looks as though he's given him a shove because he's there, and you're just putting two and two together. When you watch it back, you know, Calvert-Lewin, he steps off the line of the ball, Paul. He jumps into Dejan Lovren and bounces off him and goes down. So here's the thing, I can see why it's given a penalty, and I will not argue that it was a penalty because, again, it's one of those. If you're choosing to be physical with someone in the box, in that situation,
I don't think he was choosing to be physical.
No, but he's going shoulder to shoulder with him, isn't he? That's what he's trying to do.
No, I don't think so.
So I think, and this is where I think people are driving at with it, is that he's going away from goal. Let him take the ball.
And I agree with that. I absolutely agree with that. But you can't do anything but put your hands up if someone backs into you.
Yeah.
What is he supposed to do there? Well, chest him.
Yeah, I know.
What happens when you fall on the floor? Do you land on your chest or do you land on your hands?
No, true. But if you shoulder to shoulder,
your reaction is to put your hands. He's not shoulder to shoulder because he's behind them, Paul.
Well, you know what I mean. Is that if you go? But that's what they're going for. Is they're going to be tough and physical and like, I'm going to knock you off the ball so I can have the ball. That's what's happening there.
Maybe.
But again, if Lovren.
Or maybe he's actually doing what everyone thinks and is trying to shepherd them away from goal.
Yeah.
But Calvert-Lewin's come off the line of the ball. So whether Lovren's thinking about going shoulder to shoulder in 5 yards time is fucking irrelevant.
Yeah.
Because Calvert-Lewin's forced that situation early.
Yeah.
And Lovren's put his hand up. And I can understand why the referee's giving it. And I'm not a fan of the front view where you see the two players running towards you.
Because
it's not the referee's view. The view from behind is exactly what you say. It looks like he's pushed him.
Yeah.
The difference is he didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. So the referee's been conned in that one. And like I say, I can see why it's been given as a penalty. But you're right, is that I think the abuse that Lovren received, because this thing, Lovren had a really good game, I thought, by and large. And I can see why Klopp and the angry. And I think people have taken, what did my head in was Match of the Day's reaction to it, where they say, like, Klopp's, they've read Klopp's reaction as, is actually what's even funnier is he didn't react on BBC. He only reacted to Sky. So they had to, he gave a really sensible reaction. And instead of reacting to his reaction on their footage, they quoted Sky's and then reacted to the quotes of him, not how he said it or his reaction. So Klopp's angry, and although he did a lot of stuff in his press conference asking people, did you think it was a penalty and what have you? and they were saying that he's gone over there without watching it back. He shouldn't have reacted without seeing it because
he did watch it back.
Wrong.
He admitted that in the interview for Sky. He said, "I've seen it." One of the first questions.
Yeah, I know, and it's the bullshit bollocks. He's entitled to be angry because his response is not that Everton aren't allowed to play football like that. It's that, here's the thing, and I think people get lost because we are also intrinsically linked to our own football because we are blinkered, and we all should be, I believe, in the way we judge our own football clubs, is that if you lost a game of football to that, you would be angry.
Absolutely.
So he's got every right to be angry, and it's mad how you've got these random people sat in studios going, "Whoa, why is he so angry?" If you were cost 2 points by that decision, you would see it your way. You would always see it your way. So I think damning Lovren on that. Lovren's got plenty of things to damn him with.
Yeah, don't add to it.
Yeah, if that was another situation, another player. I've seen them given and I've seen them not given. And there's plenty of times in games where that happens and the defender laughs at them like he does, and the referee goes, "Get up." You know, and tells him to get up and get on with it because it's nothing because it is soft, but it is what it is. And you know, I think Everton needed that point just for their own happiness. So let them have it. Move on to questions then, Chris. Enaric, brilliant question. Just to kind of lead on from this a little bit. On Twitter, he asks, "I totally get Jürgen's rotation policy, but given the derby result, do you think he will use a stronger FA Cup lineup than originally planned? In my opinion, Allardyce, X, Jürgens, who will be keen to dump them out of the cup in the most humiliating way possible. That would be so sweet." So the only thing I think he will, but I don't think it will be because more than originally planned.
Yeah.
I think his plan will be to go. I think he will treat that derby game, that FA Cup game, as a, "I will gear my team up to be full strength for that."
I'm not sure he will, and I think that's the most humiliating way to beat them.
Yeah.
I think he's fine with... I think this notion of Liverpool's first three sides, we're not going to see it on many occasions, and yeah, I don't think the derby's going to be one of them, if I'm honest. I think Ward might come in.
Yeah.
I think that'll piss him off.
Yeah.
It's difficult. I wouldn't be surprised if it was just a very similar side to that, with probably, if Sturridge is fit, Sturridge instead of Solanke, because I think that was probably the plan.
Yeah.
It looks like we've gone more half-assed in that derby because Robertson's coming out of the cold. Well, Moreno injury, thank you very much. Solanke's coming out of the cold. Daniel Sturridge injury. Now, you throw Moreno and Sturridge in there, you've got the creativity to beat them, and that was probably the side that was planned to start.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
So I agree with you. I don't think it'll be more than originally planned. And I think he'd be bad too. I think... because that he'd be pressured by fans, and that's the one thing I don't think Klopp ever is.
Yeah, I don't think his plan will change. I mean, it's just that we both think his plan will be different. I think he'll go full strength for it because there was no need to go full strength against Spartak because we're much better than Spartak Moscow. We could have done that with the team that won the derby. I think it's about placing importance on it, and I think he feels a league game in a rotation of league games for the quality is different. I think in an FA Cup it's a one-off thing, it's a big occasion.
Maybe.
Anfield's going to be the lower Anfield Road's going to be chock full of Evertonians and all that kind of stuff. I think if he wants to win the FA Cup, I think he'll put his full strength team out because I think he knows, I think he values the importance of winning silverware this year. That's just my take on it, but that's the point. I would love that. I would love us to go, "It's the FA Cup, of course I'm going to go. I'm going to go big, just a league."
You know? I'd love him to go, "I'm going to put the same side out and prove he's all wrong. This side was good enough to beat Everton and we'll do it in the FA Cup."
What would be interesting is how Everton line up with that, because Allardyce was very keen to stress it was just about putting foundations in place, about getting solid defensive. Like, that you kind of say, like, "We won't be doing this every week," just to kind of appease the fears of Evertonians. If he goes like that again in the FA Cup?
Yeah, maybe. I know that Everton had a couple of injuries along that back line, didn't they, though? And they kind of piecemealed that together a little bit at the weekend. I'd be surprised if they came to Anfield and played like that again. But then it's Sam Allardyce.
Who knows? Okay, we had another email coming. This guy from Michael this time around.
It's quite an interesting question. It's actually not something I'd ever considered. It's a touch highbrow, but we'll cover that. He says, "Hi, Redman. My girlfriend gets annoyed whenever the phrase 'a beautiful goal' is used, saying, 'How can a goal be beautiful? It's just kicking the ball at a target.' Normally, I just ignore her, but I've been thinking it over, and what we normally describe as beautiful football are usually things that require a high degree of skill or technique. However, there are many things in other aspects of life that, even though they require a great deal of skill, are not considered beautiful, such as piloting an aircraft, software development, or engineering. Is there an inherent beauty in a 30-yard screamer or 25-pass move? Is all football, to even Tony Pulis' style play, beautiful, or have we just confused skill with beauty? If that question is a little too highbrow for the podcast, my backup question is, who would win in a fight between a rhino and three horses?
It's a rhino.
P.S. I'm a Newcastle fan and I still subscribe to the Redmen TV website. Keep up the good work, lads. Thank you very much, Michael. I agree. Rhino.
Yeah. Now, make it interesting and put the rhino against three giraffes, because horses can't really fight.
Well, horses have got a good kick on them.
It's true.
Horse can kill you with its kick.
Have you ever seen a giraffe fight?
I have never seen a giraffe fight.
Giraffes use their necks and basically just swing themselves. Oh, mate. We'll go on after this and we'll watch some giraffe fights on YouTube.
Okay.
They're actually dead nasty, like. Dead nasty.
Is this legal?
Yes.
Is totally it like legal. Dog fights or
no,
anything?
It was on Planet Earth.
All the little scallies from Kenny are missing out, aren't they? Could be having giraffe
fights. Fuck dog fighting.
Let's
get the giraffes on the go.
Giraffe fights and stay within the boundaries of the law. Right, I've had some thought on this because as the arty farty one of our relationship, I think I understand why people don't. You've got to understand the context of football to be able to apply the beauty to it. You have to have an understanding of what it takes to do it. So if you've no interest or understanding of football, you can't look. Because I'll give you an example. I got my lad's five, and I showed him Mo Salah's goal in the derby, and he's just still very nonplussed by goals and the actual watching of football, because he's still just into kicking it as hard as he can and running a little bit with it. So if you take a goal in isolation and show it to someone, it's just they have no appreciation for the finer points of it. It's the same way that I could show you a piece of art and you'd be like, it's a good drawing and that.
I think you've got my opinion wrong on it, to be honest. I've thought about it for quite a bit of time as well. I think I'm probably the same as you. I'll use his one, software development. I have no understanding of that, so I don't know how beautiful something can be.
Yeah.
And that's essentially what you're saying. You need to add context to it. I know how hard it is to do what Mo Salah does and put a 25-pass move together, so I appreciate that as beautiful.
Yeah.
I literally can't draw, so when I see any fucking painting, I'm like, that's fucking beautiful, because I couldn't do it. Now, I might not assign the word beautiful to it.
But an example of that, is more, I give you a piece of modern art and you go, well, it's just someone slapped a few fucking, thrown a paintbrush about a fucking thing.
Because, Paul, that's all you've done.
Exactly. But again,
I could do that.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah.
That's the difference. And that's why I don't consider it beautiful. Because I can throw paint at a wall and I can throw shit at a wall.
But it's the difference is that anyone can kick a football and anyone can kick a football into the top corner of a goal. But if you look at it from that, but it's what it is. It's an understanding.
But that's why, let's use the Mona Lisa as an example.
Yeah.
I can't draw a stick, man.
Yeah.
So trying to draw that,
that's
beautiful.
That's technically proficient. It's not necessarily beautiful. The beauty of art comes from the depth of meaning behind it and having
not
a greater understanding of it.
Technically proficient, but the way that people can layer paintings and all that type of stuff up, you have to have an understanding of how to do that in the first instance. I've got no way of doing it. Fucking hell, I can't even make green.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like these guys use just a few colours and make the colours and stuff like that. And I'm like, what? I can't make green.
But I think in answer to it, it can be beautiful, but it's beauty's in the eye of the beholder, ultimately. And again, so if you take things out of context, you've got to have an appreciation for the art form to find beauty in it. And you can be objective or you can be subjective in these things, like the way you can see beauty in something that you don't necessarily. Like you can see beauty in another man, Chris, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you need to be. Look how for example, you fine specimen. But you know what I mean. You can have appreciation for things in life without necessarily having a deeper understanding of them. So this is not a black or white, mutually exclusive kind of deal. But I believe that you can find beauty in anything. Like again, let's use pilot and aircraft. There's a functionality to football that is not beautiful, but there are beautiful elements to it that are the pinnacle of it. So there's a difference between piloting a carrier or a commercial aircraft to being a stunt pilot or whatever, in which case there will be beauty to those kind of things. So yes, your girlfriend should not get annoyed. If she's getting annoyed, it's just through her own ignorance.
Fair enough. Dump her.
Find beauty where you want to find beauty is what I'm saying, basically. And if you're not finding beauty in something, address that and decide whether you want to, or maybe look at what things you find to be beautiful and see if you can compare that and find an understanding as to why someone else might find something beautiful that you
Michael, don't. Please don't split up with her because you're starting to question how beautiful she is based off this
as long
podcast.
As you find her beautiful and she finds you beautiful, and that's all that matters. Or if you've maybe got a mortgage and a long-term commitment to each other, like, you know what I mean? You've got to think about that. Yeah, exactly. And thank you very much for being a Newcastle fan who listens to the podcast and subscribes to the website. If that hasn't been enough to get you off the fence, in addition to Exclusives Week and the chance to win an amazing Christmas hamper, then I really don't know what is. Thank you very much, Chris. This has been an absolute pleasure. Belt of a podcast this week. I hope everyone...
Should we just have a little check of Emma's poll now? See if I've made a comeback?
Have you been putting some... Why
did you see me pick my phone up?
Oh, have you been...
No. Right, here we go.
Go on, what have you done? Nothing. Have you been campaigning?
I'm literally just going to check. Oh, come on, Emma. How many tweets does she put in? This is terrible.
Terrible radio.
1,649 tweets. Paul the Charmer, 41. Chris the Cheeky, 136. Ross the Sympathy Vote, 23%.
Wow, well, there you go. So, yeah, you've got a few hours left to vote, potentially.
She never said who tomorrow. She voted for, though. I did ask her. She just said not Ross.
Oh, give Ross a vote, make him feel better. Yes, listen, thanks very much. Please do again leave ratings, highest possible ratings and reviews on stuff. That's always appreciated. Go subscribe to the redmentv.com. I can't stress this enough. It's an amazing time for you to jump on board. Got some class stuff coming up ahead of Christmas as well, and you get to see the video version of this podcast and the sensational Christmas tree that Chris has erected in the studio.
Yeah, yeah, man. Always erecting stuff in the studio.
Oh yeah. On the casting couches. Thanks very much for listening. Thank you very much for watching. Walk on.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.